Hello and welcome to the Ashley de la Motte Show. Today we're talking about kidney failure. Now I'm passionate about this subject because I suffer from kidney failure myself and I feel like there isn't enough coverage about this around the world. Now according to kidney.org, 10% of the population worldwide is affected by chronic kidney disease. Now that's a lot of people. But do you know that at least 1 million people die each year because they do not have access to affordable treatment? Now that's a lot of people. And I've been covering this for a little while now because I'm in the UK and I receive good care. And I have great resources that I'm grateful for. But I also acknowledge and see that there's a lot of people around the world who do not have the same resources as I have to help them with the condition. And a lot of people can't afford it as well. So I want to talk about all these matters, but I also want to look at how people live with kidney failure. I've made a lot of friends throughout the years who are suffering from the condition themselves, and I'm going to interview them so that we can all hear how living with kidney failure is. It's quite a complex condition because you don't always have symptoms, right, in the early stages, and it's not really visible. So it takes a while for people who suffer from it and their surroundings to know that, okay, this person is actually really sick. So it's really interesting to cover everyone's stories so that you can hear and understand the concept of what kidney failure is and how everybody else is suffering from it. So we're going to start with me. I'm 40 years old. I've been 40 for about a week now. and basically, I was told I had kidney failure when I was 23 years old. Okay, at the time I was pregnant. So they thought that I was that I had a kidney failure due to the pregnancy. And then by the time I was 27, my kidney went down to 15%. So for a good 10 years, I was able to live on 15%. I managed quite well. I had a few symptoms here and there, but I was able to manage. I was able to function on 15% kidney function for quite a while. And then all of a sudden in 2017, after having a few surgeries, my kidneys dropped to 10% and then they went down to 5%. So now we're in 2020, so it's been a good 3 years I've been on 5% kidney function. However, the distinctive difference with me is that I wasn't on dialysis all these years. But then I find out that I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people who have been living on 5% kidney function for a few years. And I'm going to talk to them and you can hear their different stories. So I've had to start dialysis 3 weeks ago. I'm on my third week. And the main reason why I agreed to go on dialysis is because of the pandemic that's happening right now. I've been advised that if I do catch the virus, it will be harder to treat me if I have excess fluid in my lungs. COVID-19. So I've been advised to start dialysis. So if I do have excess fluid, it could be removed, which is what I did. I started dialysis. So I'm on a dialysis called PD dialysis. That's my treatment. It's quite an intensive treatment. It's tiring. It's a different lifestyle. But I'm going to cover that throughout the interviews as well as I'm talking to various kidney failure patients. So the aim of this first series is for you guys to really understand the importance of being aware of what kidney failure is, the disease, how to be an organ donor, how to understand about organ donation, and how living with kidney failure is very possible, but how draining and challenging it is as well. So this is an informative podcast for all our communities around the world. And I'd like for you guys to join us through discussions I'll send you guys the email where you can ask your questions. So you can email me at ashley@ashleydelamotte.com, where you'll be able to send your questions in, and I'll be able to answer your questions through the podcast. Okay, so let's get started. We'll have our first interview in a bit. First guest on Living with Kidney Failure on the Ashley De La Motte Show is BBC One Extra DJ Ace. So coincidentally, DJ Ace shares the same name as me, Ashley, and basically is going to talk to us about how he's been living with kidney failure for the past few years, and also his requirement to receive a kidney on the organ donation list. Joining me right now is DJ Ace. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's going on?
Oh, fantastic. Great. I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
Hello?
Yeah. How are you doing?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thank you. Thanks for joining me. So I basically wanted you to talk about living with kidney failure. Let's just start with introducing yourself first.
I'm DJ Ace, presenter and DJ broadcaster for BBC Radio 1 Extra.
And you are currently suffering from kidney failure.
That's right. I was diagnosed in 2018, May of 2018. And I'm still receiving dialysis treatment 3 times a week.
So, did you start dialysis as soon as you were told you had kidney failure, or you had a little bit of time before you started?
I probably had about 3 months to prepare for dialysis.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, when I was originally told that my kidneys were failing, I think my kidney function was really low. It was probably about 15-16% at that time. And I had a little while before I had to start dialysis, but I had the fistula operation. And we were just kind of waiting it out till when my kidneys function got even lower before I would have to start dialysis. And then I started in May of 2018.
Wow. So how has your journey been with dialysis?
Sorry, repeat that.
How has your journey been on dialysis?
At first it was difficult. I have hemodialysis, which means basically they go in my arm. And at first my fistula wasn't that great, so they had a lot of trouble trying to find where the vein was. So there was a lot of sticking me with needles. It took a little while, and just sitting on the machine for a while, just trying to find ways to keep myself entertained. At that time, I wasn't really thinking about kidney transplant, even though that's obviously the reason why I have dialysis. I just assumed that I'd have a kidney in a couple of months. I thought I wasn't going to have to be on dialysis that long. And I just didn't feel like it was something that was going to really impact on my life. I felt like it was just going to be something that I'd have to deal with for a couple of months. Maybe be on dialysis for a couple of months, then eventually get a kidney and I'll be fine. Here I am 2 years later and I'm still on dialysis. I think I handle it a lot better now than I did when I first started. It's kind of just become part and parcel of my life, and it's just routine now. But at the beginning, I don't think I really understood the gravity or how much of a big deal it was that I was being a renal patient.
Yeah. So do you have any other conditions?
Diabetes, which is in my family. I've been diagnosed with diabetes since I was about 19 or 20, type 2 diabetic, and high blood pressure.
So, before you were told that you had kidney failure, did you have any symptoms at all?
No, so what's weird is, like, when I was told that I was, like, that my kidneys were really bad, was I was having these really bad back pains. So, that one day, just on a random one, I had a hospital appointment, my eye hospital appointment, it was like to do an eye checkup. And when I got to the hospital, like, my back was really hurting and, like, so bad that I couldn't even get in my car. So I was like, let me just go check out what this back problem is. I didn't think it was anything to do with my kidneys. I assumed it was like muscle pain or something, but I was so bad that I couldn't actually get in my car. So I went to A&E and they were like, oh, well, we're just going to check your kidneys anyway. And what's funny is they actually said the problem with my back had nothing to do with my kidneys. It actually was a muscle pain, but that is when they found out that my kidney disease was that bad. So I don't know, that was maybe God telling me that I needed to get that checked out. So I didn't really have any kidney related symptoms per se, but that day I remember so clearly, like, I was just in a lot of pain, but they said it actually had nothing to do with my kidney.
That's why I was saying that a lot of people actually have organ failure, if they don't actually know.
Yeah.
And because your symptoms don't actually manifest as such, you can live a complete normal life on kidney failure and not even know that you've got it, you know?
Yeah.
And you actually get the, what's that called, the symptoms when it's a bit too late.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I was really lucky, and I've actually read that about some other people. Even there's the rapper Freeway, who's signed to Jay-Z. He just recently had a kidney transplant, but when he went in for renal failure, he actually had absolutely no idea. He was coming off tour, he didn't know, and they were like, if you had come maybe like a month later or a few weeks later, it would have been totally different. You might have died. So there are no like out and out symptoms that you can just tell that.
No, you can't.
You have a kidney failure.
Some people do get the occasional swelling and, you know, excessive tiredness, but seriously, you don't actually see it. So how does that impact you mentally? Does it affect you in any way, or are you just managing?
Yeah, I'm managing, I'm dealing with it. Obviously, like, I always say, like, for me, the mental side is more about frustration. Like, I see myself as, I'm quite a busy person. I've got a lot of things that I'm trying to achieve, and there's a lot of things I'm trying to do. And I'm really trying to stay active in my field. But this has definitely impacted on the way that I move from day to day and even from month to month. Like, I have to base my life around going to the hospital 3 times a week. So that means I can't just make random visits to places. I can't take flights. I've got to think about holidays. I can't just up and do certain gigs if I want to do it. Like, I really have to base everything I do on the fact that I go to the hospital 3 times a week. So, yeah, in somebody that does what I do, in the field that I do it, it hasn't helped at all. I've been able to work. And I've been able to work my way around it, but it hasn't been easy at all.
It's a bit difficult, yeah. You see, that's why I just started dialysis 3 weeks ago, and I'm doing PD dialysis, and obviously that's a different dialysis from yours. And I chose that obviously because obviously I do travel a lot for work, and I find it. I mean, I thought that was the best solution for me. Now, PD dialysis is also draining as the one you're doing. It's just that it's a lot more independent. I do it at home, I put the machine at home. But the machine was quite painful for me. So I'm actually on manual right now, where I'm using one bag a day. So I'm on a complete different dialysis from you than you. I would say it's a bit more convenient, but it's also as inconvenient as what you're going through. The difference is going to hospital 3 times a week. Now, if
we weren't going for this whole COVID-19 situation,
then
I would have had to be in hospital every week for the first few weeks. It's a new treatment.
Right.
But because of the COVID-19, they don't want me in hospital. So I've actually had to figure it out for myself.
Oh, wow.
So it's interesting to hear how you've managed to get your life around it. But then also you were talking about having the virus the other day.
Yeah.
How has that impacted you? Is it, have you got no more symptoms? Are you okay now?
Yeah.
Or how are you managing?
So obviously, like, we are high risk and vulnerable. So I was at work, I can't remember the dates of all escaped me, but I was at work on a Monday, and then by I think like Tuesday, Wednesday is when they were talking about everybody getting into lockdown. And on the Tuesday they was like, look, you're high risk and vulnerable, so you're gonna need to go home and isolate for 12 weeks. And so I left I think Monday or Tuesday, but I still obviously had to have dialysis, so I was going in for my sessions. And then by Friday in the morning, I think it's like morning/afternoon, I was like starting to have symptoms. So I was like, I had a fever and I had body ache, but I still didn't necessarily think it was coronavirus. I just felt like I was getting a cold or something. Now my stepdaughter was ill that week as well, and so I didn't know if I just picked up something from her. So then when we got to when I got to the hospital, I still, like, I wasn't coughing. I think at that time they were only really telling us about the coughs, and they were like, yeah, if you got a dry cough then it's probably that. So I still didn't necessarily think I had coronavirus. I went for dialysis and I was kind of like sitting underneath an aircon, so I just assumed that I was getting cold because I was underneath aircon. But then by the time like I got home that evening, I felt really bad. Like I was like shivering and my body was hurting. And even then, those symptoms only really lasted that weekend. By Monday morning, I was kind of feeling back, not back to normal, but I was a bit better than I was. But I know that they said that if you felt like ill at all, then you need to make sure you call the hospital and let them know what your symptoms are. So I called them. I was like, I don't think this is coronavirus, but I've got a fever and I've had body ache. And they were like, don't come to the hospital. So they sent me to a different hospital to have dialysis in isolation. And while I was there, they actually tested me for the virus. And then they came back a week later that I actually had it. But by then I was like totally back to normal. I was fine. And,
do you think that going through the dialysis helped you to heal a bit quicker?
I don't know. Like, someone said that to me. I think it was somebody said it to me like the other day. Maybe like being on dialysis helped wash it out of your system. And maybe that's I don't, I've never really thought about that. Maybe possibly that is why I got over it so quickly. Who knows?
I
don't know. So. But yeah, I had it. I got over it in a couple of days and I was back to normal. Then I had like another test maybe a couple of weeks later and that came back negative. So yeah, I was able to like beat it.
Oh wow. Yeah.
But it was I was really scared, obviously, like us being vulnerable people, and all you see is like people dying and all you hear is, oh yeah, they had underlying health issues, that's why they passed. So, like, I didn't know if those underlying health issues that we have was a reason for me to panic, because, like, if I get it, does that mean I'm going to die? And I couldn't find anything online, and that's kind of why I made that video, because I know there was loads. If I'm at home, like, online searching for what happens to people with renal failure if they get COVID-19, I'm sure there's other people doing that. So I just wanted to put out a little piece of good news to say, look, you can get it and you can survive. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a death sentence.
Right, exactly. Mm. So let's talk about your transplant requirement. What's your blood type?
So this is the funniest thing. I've only just recently started getting serious about getting a transplant. So I've only just recently got, I've got one more test to do in regards to my pre-transplant test. So I don't even know all the information about what my blood type is and what I need or what my tissue type is. I just know that I'm almost there. But one more test to do before I'm transplant ready. So once I have that test, then I'll make sure everybody knows all the information. I know there's a few people.
And then they'll put you on a transplant
list. Right. I know there's a few people that have come forward to say that they want to didn't want to be tested. Yeah, so I'm in a good space. I'm in a good place. But yeah, obviously this is whole COVID thing has slowed that whole process down. But once we're through it, I'll be back on it and a bit more aggressive about trying to get that kidney that I need.
Yeah. It's fantastic and inspiring that you're still able to live a full life on kidney failure and still work and you're still, you know, working in your passion and what you're into and stuff. But you know, there's so many people in the world that actually have what we have, but they can't even do any of the things that we do, you know.
Yeah.
And some, it's due to resources, but a lot of them is because it's a mental block. So what would you advise to people who are actually going through what we're going through, considering that we're all experiencing it differently?
Yeah. It's hard to say. I think I've just always had that. Like, I've always known what I want to do in life, and I've always been someone to follow my dreams and just, like, just carry on, really. And I don't know, sometimes I think it's not necessarily a good thing, because I'm like, oh yeah, well, I finished dialysis at 10:30 and I've been booked to play a rave at midnight, so I'm just gonna go straight from dialysis just to go and play my party, and then bad things happen. So it's not always necessarily a good thing. Like, I always need to really, I would always suggest people, like, follow your dreams and don't let whatever your medical situation is stop you from being who you want to be or doing what you want to do. But you also have to, at the same time, be careful, because I there's been times when I haven't been careful, and I've just been like, okay, cool, I'm gonna go and do a party after I've had a dialysis session, and bad things have happened because of that. So I do think it's about the balance as well. Or, like, yes, don't ever let anything stop you from doing what you want to do, but you also have to be realistic in the fact that, yo, like, your kidney, your major organ doesn't work. So that means that you can't necessarily do everything you want to do. It's just about balance, really. And
yeah,
I've learned that the hard way, I'm not gonna lie. And
yeah,
if it means you have to do a little bit less, like, I DJ less now than I DJed 2 years ago. And that's
right.
And that is what it is. But as long as you can keep, like, you can keep bits of happiness in what you do. Like, I love radio, so I'm able to go and do radio every day, and that's a plus for me. The con is that, like, I can't DJ as much as I wanted to, as I used to, but at least I still have radio. So I think it's just about finding the balance in the good things that you like to do and making sure that you you're still, like, pursuing your dreams, but do it in the safest possible way.
Yeah, exactly. So where can we catch your show?
Yes, so the schedule changed while COVID's going on. I'm on the radio now on Saturdays at 3 p.m. on One Extra. Hopefully after this is done, I'll be back to going back to 10. Well, I'm gonna say hopefully, I'm definitely going back to Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. But at the moment, you can catch me on One Extra on Saturdays at 3 p.m.
Oh, fantastic. And what's your social media handle?
At DJ Ace on Instagram and on Twitter. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thanks a lot for your time.
No problem. And salute to you, man. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. And I'm following your journey. And yeah, keep it up, man. You're definitely a ray of light for people that are in the situations that we're in.
Oh, thank you so much. It's not easy, but I feel like we definitely need to share stories out there, because there's not enough coverage on kidney failure, and when there is, sometimes they will exaggerate with the sadness a bit, and I just feel like, no, we need to bring the reality
for sure
of what it really is to deal with kidney failure.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, now thank you so much.
No problem.
So we'll definitely catch up soon.
For sure.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, Oh, wow. I love the way DJ Ace shared his story. It's very passionate. He's got such a great passion for life and for his business and the industry. I love the fact that he's showing that you can still live a full life on kidney failure, but you just got to be careful. You've got to know yourself. You've got to know your body and know when to stop. And like he shared, he's had some experiences where it taught him that he needs to be a bit more careful and pay a lot more attention to how he feels. Along the way, we're going to hear a lot more different stories from different people suffering from kidney failure, and you're going to see how we all have one common denominator, which is kidney failure, but we all have a different experience with it. So it'll be very interesting to see what everybody else has to say about their experiences on living with kidney failure. So until next time on the Ashley de la Mutt Show, be safe.